This program contains graphic material, including... This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them.
Hello there, everybody.
Hello.
What's
glad
up?
To see people here tonight.
Huh?
It's like, glad to see us here tonight.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna get a couple things out of the way. Somebody asked to hear George Carlin's American Dream. I'll do that right now, and then I'm gonna play the other one after that, and then we'll go into what we were gonna talk about, which is
overcrowding in prison.
Yeah, 26 signs that the United States is being turned into a giant prison.
Yes.
Okay. Here's George.
Education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else.
I understand. Like I said, we're doing this in
population.
I already have.
They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later. In this fucking place. It's a big club. And you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah, let me get over that one. It's true. Are you there? Hello? Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. Okay, in regards to... feel that we're in... we all know we're just all stuck in this hole that nobody seems to want to do much about it except for just, sitting back and watching.
Yeah, nobody's paying attention. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody seems to care.
Exactly. And, I don't know what it is in regards to if, they just feel that people feel the need that the economy is going to get better. It's not. Everybody just needs to wake up and see everything for what it is.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, people don't want to believe, but we're going into the 26 signs that the United States is being turned into a giant prison.
Yeah.
And I got a comment from one of our friends up in up north of me, and he said, "Well, if you don't like it, get ready to move."
Move where?
That's what I wrote.
Worldwide.
Yeah, that's what I wrote back.
There's no place to go.
Yeah,
because we're
his comment was, "I have a solution." Well, it's like he said, I have a solution for you. Ready? Move out of this country. It's going to get fucking, it's only going to get fucking worse, or deal with it.
Right. But in reality, okay, now we have to look at, if you're familiar, if you've seen it, now Greece has had several issues. Say if you wanted to go to Greece, Greece has had their economic issues. Okay, they've been battling with their issues. You're not going to go any other place that's any better than here. Period.
Yeah.
I don't care where you go. Unless if you go to the Amazon somewhere and you're living in the Amazon, and you feed off the land.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you might need a permit to do that, too.
Could be, because there's a lot of part of the Amazon that you're not to be in. So, yeah, you're right. Where do you go?
Yeah.
You can't run from it, and you can't hide from it. You have to face it for what it is at face value. And the unfortunate thing is, the way this economy is, it's not going to get any better because the recession is really bad.
And there is no face value.
No. It's one way, period, that's it.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, we got a caller from Canada. Let's see what he's got to say on this.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, how you doing, man?
Not bad, my brother. Who's this nice lady we're speaking with now? She was talking about Amazon.
Hi, Ray, it's Nora.
Hi, Nora, how you doing, sweetheart?
Fine, how are you?
Not bad. I think Antarctica would probably be the safest place.
Yeah, but then we'd all be
It don't matter where you go, darling. I mean, you got to deal with the government in every aspect and everywhere you go. I mean, who are you going to argue with in Antarctica? The Eskimos?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have Eskimos in the Antarctic. But they have polar bears, so we'd all be stuck together.
Well, they'll keep you warm or eat you, one of the two.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's governmental issues in everything. And even in the Amazon, I know a lot of people that have traveled out there. And the cost of living, of course, is a lot cheaper. Living off the land is something else. But, you have to pay your dues as well. Don't matter where you go. And once they know that you're not from there, which is pretty easy to see a white boy standing out in the jungle somewhere, they're going to hit you hard because, they might not have the tax problems that we do and the economic problems that we have, but they'll find a way to suck your pockets dry. They'll either threaten you, they'll, I mean, a lot of people get kidnapped in the Amazons now. You know, so they always, they're always hand in hand with their government. Their government will threaten them. You do this, you help us figure out how to maybe kidnap this guy, get some money from the Canadian government, the American government, wherever you're from. They'll find a way. You know, you're not safe anywhere. And Phil and I have spoken about this on many occasions. It's basically you against the world. You, your brothers and your sisters, and I mean your family, but I mean your brothers like Phil and I and so forth. Everybody's got to watch each other's back. That's the only way we're going to survive is teamwork.
Yeah.
You know, one-on-one only works for so long.
There's no I in, you know, I tell these guys at work that all the time when they talk about team, and I always tell them, there's no I in team, but there's three U's and shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Want to buy a vowel, you know?
Yeah.
But there's no safe havens anymore, except for your backyard, the gun in your hand, and your bros and your sisters. That's basically the end of that. You know, the world is not going to get any safer. It's not going to get any easier. Once, you know, the Great Depression in 29, it's going to come back. It has to crash. And it's there. It's at your back door, guys. I mean, it's at our door. We never went through that big depression in the States, but it did affect Canada. I remember my grandfather talking about it, you know. And the way the stock market is going, it's not going up and down, you know, casually. It's spiking everywhere. Like, I don't know if they still got those guys camped across the street from the Whatchamacallit building in New York. I'm sure you heard about it. They were camped there for like 2 months.
Oh, you mean in the park? Because
yeah, correct.
They were at a building, but then they moved to the park there. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. But yeah, they were able to protest there for so long, and then they had to shift it into the park, which ended up to be a worse disaster.
Yeah. But I mean, they were there for three months trying to make a stand, trying to get the government's eye to see, you know, their feelings, their thought about the stock market. And what happened? They got pissed on by the government. The government was not going to give in, and they're not going to give in. We're just small people. We're just pennies in their pockets while they have the big money clips in their pockets.
Right.
Yeah, well, here's a big money clip for you right here.
All right.
Bro. I've got the 26 signs that the United States is being turned into a giant prison. Okay?
Oh, definitely.
I'm going to skip down to number 10. And I want everybody to listen to me very carefully. Number 10, the FBI is now admittedly recording internet talk radio programs all over the United States. The FBI has awarded $524,927 contract to a Virginia company to record as much radio news and talk programming as it can find on the internet.
Now, what the hell does that say for you, my brother? Like, they are all over you. They are all over everybody. They're on me right now listening to me, guaranteed. And like I said last time, what did I tell you, Phil? I'm a Canadian. I don't give a fuck about Obama. I don't give a fuck about anybody except for my fucking family. And why don't you guys kiss my ass and get the fuck off Phil's back?
Yeah.
You can't even have your own fucking private conversation, or not private in your case. You're known around the world, 32 countries now?
38.
38, good man. But leave the brother alone. Where's the Second Amendment, which is a free speech? Am I not right?
That's the First Amendment.
Or the First Amendment. Yeah, Second Amendment is to bear arms. But, man, like, you're doing such a great job, Phil. You're helping fucking people, and they don't like that because you're stepping on their fucking toes.
Well, you
and you're not really stepping on their toes. You're just saying what you believe.
Yeah.
It's not a question of saying of what you believe. It's letting people know what is available or and information out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know.
No, but they see it as a stab in the back in the government's eye. Nobody's stabbing nobody. We're the ones who's being shanked, not them.
Well, you know, how often has somebody that, you know, has asked certain questions or something, okay, what's going on? And they look at you like you're supposed to know, and you don't always know. So
Nope. This
is informative, and it's not, you know, hurting them at all by any means. It's just people that talk like they would at their kitchen table at supper or whatever, you know, in a conversation.
Nobody does that anymore.
Do you know how hard that is? But when you have it, it's amazing when people can sit down and talk at a table.
But what I think is happening is they're hoping somebody's going to slip and say something totally out of line, which they're entitled to anyways, but they're hoping that the stab in the back that we're supposedly giving them is going to give them the opportunity and the chance that they will jump on quickly to shut Phil down and any other talk show.
They can't do that.
But they sure will fucking try, though.
Trying, but they can't do that.
No, they cannot. But why are they fucking tapping in on your line? Why are they listening to us right now, which I'm sure they are?
Well, they're at the server. They're not here.
You'd probably be surprised, my brother. Your phones are probably fucking tapped, man.
They also get swept once a week, too.
Because, fuck, they can tap phones without a fucking without a judge's approval now.
They passed that a long time ago.
Hey, Watergate, ring a bell?
Well, it's just like, you know, okay, here.
Well, Nixon sunk his own butt.
Yeah, well, he should have got shot if anybody. They should have left fucking, they should have left JFK alone and just fucking assassinated fucking Nixon in my book. And Reagan as well, Reaganomics. My ass.
Okay. Hey, I think we got Stacy joining us. Are you there, Stacy?
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Stacy.
Hello, Stacy.
How's everybody doing
here
tonight?
Fine. Good. How are you?
Oh, exhausted.
You want to put your 2 cents?
Oh, God. first of all, I still have my family sit around the dinner table, and yes, we have some amazing conversations. But as for the government or any other government type of entity tapping into computers, phone lines, or whatever it may be, who knows, you might have one of them small little helicopters flying outside your house, you know, and listening in on, you know, what you're doing.
Did you know that the government, they actually set up fake cell phone towers so they can intercept phone calls?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, let me tell you something. Back, like, I don't know, about 15 years ago, I used to like to go fishing, and we would have a scanner with us, you know, to see where the popos were in the city while we were fishing, because we were fishing where we weren't supposed to be. But you could catch people's cell phone conversations right through the scanner, you know. So, I mean, there are so many ways to intercept things today with technology, you know, where it's at. But I feel it's a total, total invasion of privacy. It's one thing, let's say, if you have to watch a person. Let's say, you know, you got the suspicion that they murdered 15 people or something like that, and you're building an investigation. But it's another thing when you're just doing it for the sake of, oh, you know, you can do it. And I feel it's wrong. I feel it's totally, totally wrong. You know, it's a way for the higher-ups to prove that they'll be higher than all of us and take one more of our freedom or liberty away from us.
Well,
yeah, because right now, you know, it's like everybody that's reading and anything, you can tell that we're being turned into a giant prison.
Yep. Absolutely.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if one day, if it's not taking place already, that they just zoom in, they can see what we're doing in our own home. So,
oh,
you know, where is the privacy?
They have been doing
oh,
that.
I know.
They have been doing that for a while, Nora.
I know. But, I mean, it's sad because say if, okay, right, say if you and I are married and you're off on a business trip and you're lodged in a hotel for the weekend or something and you and I are talking the way we would if we were in the bedroom, okay? Oh, well, guess how many other people are listening to that? That's what I'm talking about. Not
yeah.
Just in general.
Well, if you were like in a case like that, what you're saying, if you were a wanted fugitive of some sort under Interpol or something, and they wanted your ass, oh, the chances are 100 out of 100, they would just do exactly that.
Right.
If they knew that you were going to be in that room prior to you renting that room, they'd
right.
probably bug the shit out of that,
oh,
that
yeah.
little apartment of yours.
But you know what? That's okay. I mean, that's to be understandable.
No,
when
it's
just
not.
Right.
It's,
no, it, if they are seeking a fugitive, I feel that it's fine for them to track
but
a fugitive.
But there has to be stipulations in what type of fugitive, you know,
right.
because, I mean, where... Well, what type of category are you throwing fugitive into? I mean, nowadays, you say something against, you know, let's say the government.
Right.
That makes you, you know, I don't know, it puts you in some type of category. And nowadays, I don't know, they change the rules as they go, and they pick and choose what they want to do, and, you know... I don't think...
Well, you know why? Because the gap between what the public thinks the law says and what the American government secretly thinks the law says.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, what I'm looking at is, say if there's a serial killer out there, okay, and they're zooming in. They finally figured out who it is, okay, and they're zooming on that person. That's one thing, and I can understand that. I have no problem if they zoomed in on a serial killer. Guess that
oh,
person
right.
off the street.
But where,
oh, most
but
definitely.
It's personal.
Most definitely.
But where is the gap? You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
They can't sum it up to, okay, well, if we have, like you were saying, a serial killer, then we're allowed to do that. There's no, you know, to me it looks like there's no lines of stipulation.
There isn't, and you know why? Because in some American schools right now, RFID chips are now being used to monitor the attendance and movements of your children while they're at school.
Oh yes.
Yeah. When it comes to tracking down child abusers, rapists, killers like that, I mean, a killer to protect his family, no, leave that guy alone. But randomly going out shooting children and stuff like that. Fucking tap everything he owns and forget the jail. If you got all the proof in the world, I've said this many a times, bring back the old Bible rule of stoning the son of a bitch to death in a public square. You pay a dollar for a rock. Hey, I'd buy 1,000 rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you right now, the rape would go down, the killings would go down, the child abuse would go down. But no. The government makes money off that. The attorneys, everybody makes a buck off of that. So they're not, you know, they're not building prisons left and right and overpopulating them for no reason. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. So why in the hell would they kill a child rapist?
Exactly.
And they're the first ones that should go. How in the hell can an adult male or female hurt a child? In any way, shape, or form, a little slap on the bum when you're young and you screwed up. Hey, that was a good rule. Maybe mom and maybe mom and dad should have gave me a few more beatings. But I'll tell you, I learned something. I've never had to raise my hand to my children because I knew how to speak with my children. My mom never had no brothers. She didn't know anything about raising boys. Dad, he was too much of a powerful man. Powerful, a butterfly. But if he got a hold of you, 350 55 pounds of pure muscle, the man didn't know how to smack a child. He would beat you like an adult. So,
right.
You know, but children, I'm talking children that are tossed in garbage cans on the side of the road, kill him, forget prison, forget deballing him if you're the rapist, shoot him, get rid of him. Get rid
right.
of him. You got all the DNA possible. You've got every piece of evidence you can use against them. Kill them. Period.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
well,
here...
You know what? Death row is a joke. Death row
is
a joke.
It
people
is.
People sit there for 25, 35 years, you know, while, you know, the taxpayers are paying their way. That's obvious. But for what? That one extra appeal, that one extra whatever... And it's at the hand of the taxpayers. Now, I can understand that there are people that have been put there that have been found innocent, you know,
so many years later.
But I think there should be some type of time contingency there.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
the thing is, in those days, see, you don't see that as much as you did, before 85. 85 DNA just started. 89 DNA was refined. Today... Oh, my God, you can't go anywhere without leaving some form of trace. So
exactly.
You've got all the evidence today. There's no way they can make a mistake. So when you do have that big pile of evidence, don't let the taxpayers pay. Don't let the other woman that's going to get raped in 4 or 5 days after he gets out, you know, pay the price. Don't let another child get killed or raped. Kill him. Get rid of the cancer.
You know,
they got to cut the snake in 5 pieces, not just the head. Because I don't know if you guys ever seen a snake's head cut off. It's like a chicken. It wiggles. Stop the wiggling. Get rid of it.
Well, that's just like another thing, too. You know, if you go and visit somebody in prison, they're keeping tallies on that, too. God forbid that you have a family member that, you know, either took a wrong turn or did something stupid. You know, they keep an eye on all of that stuff, too. And it's like, you know, can you buy groceries without being monitored? You know, it's just ridiculous.
You can't buy groceries.
No.
There's cameras everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't ever think for a minute that you have complete privacy because you don't. You absolutely
don't. Every time I go to the washroom, I look around, make sure there's no cameras in my bathroom because they might say, hey, listen, you use too many shit tickets. Put one back.
Well,
what analogy, eh?
Yeah, it is. But here, Shirley brings up a good point. You know, being in prison, you get free room and board. Okay, well, yeah, at taxpayers. Cost, you know,
yeah,
every time
exactly.
somebody is in prison, it's their taxpayers' pocket.
Yep.
Well, you know, and all those new housing developments and stuff, they're all getting those new high-tech streetlights that are being funded by the federal government because they're being installed.
Yeah, but there's cameras in there.
They just, where I live, there's a big bridge, and you have to go over the bridge to get into the city. Where I'm at, and one of the things they so proudly boasted about was under the new construction on the bridge when they've been repainting it and replacing metal and all kinds of stuff, they've got this high tech camera operation so they can zoom into all the activity going on along the shoreline. You know, because we've got a couple of nightclubs and different things like that, and the areas can be kind of shady sometimes. But it was all over the newspapers that they were so proud that they had all these high-tech cameras. And I'm looking at the size of the bridge, where it's at, and where the waterfront's at, and I'm like, if they could zoom all the way in down here to where people are walking around and doing their thing, they can zoom into anybody else's house.
Well, the other thing they can
do,
too, is they can... FBI can demand to see any of your cell phone data whenever they want.
Yep.
But, you know, they can also, I don't know, a lot of people, I tell them, if you're going to go somewhere and you don't want to be found, or you go outside and you don't need your phone, take the battery out. Because they can also remotely activate your phone.
Yeah.
They can turn the microphone on to record whatever you're saying.
Oh, most definitely. That's why you buy those pay and talk ones. You just grab them, make a, say, whatever, criminal deal, whatever the case may be, and then toss the damn thing. It costs you, what, $10 in Canada to buy a phone. Just hypothetically, you make a dope deal that's worth $20,000-$30,000. What the hell is $10? You make your deal, toss the phone in the garbage, crush the shit out of it, and end of it. But like Phil says, remove your battery.
You want to make sure it's off, take the battery out.
Yeah, right. Like people talk about the Hubble.
I got stopped one day, and the guy asked me, they took my phone out of my pocket, and he said, hey, how come your phone's not on? I said, there's no battery in it. He said, what, are people tracking you? I said, well, you guys found me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I bet you he didn't have a whole lot to say about that, did he?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, people talk about the Hubble telescope, how powerful it is. Well, there's one a lot stronger than that, and I was doing the research on it. I forget what it's called. And they were zooming in on this one guy. He was one of the 10 top wanted people in the world. And they zoomed in from, I forget how high it was up, in outer space. They zoomed in, and you could tell it was written hibachi on his fucking barbecue.
Oh, my God.
I am not joking. That's how powerful these things are. So if they're on to me, they want me for something, as soon as I step out of my house, they know the color of my hair.
Exactly.
They know
exactly
everything. They know if I got a wallet. They know if I got a little knife, the 4-inch knife that we talked about there, Phil. They'll know everything about you. And if they're looking at you from outer space, you don't think they got a tracking device in your car. You don't think your phone is tapped. You damn right.
Oh, no.
And your neighbors, are on the camera, too.
Well,
and
Christ, they've got that OnStar now built in your cars.
They will track your ass so quick with that.
I mean, there's a positive for that. Should you be in an accident, a little kid in the car, maybe you're knocked out, and, you know, they can come through and talk to the child and get, you know, the fire department, ambulance, whatever, to the accident. But when you're not using that, that's still like a homing device for them. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, this person who bought this car is right here, you know, and you can't get away from it. No matter
the thing
what
is
you
can,
did,
you
can't
cannot
get
even
away from it.
You cannot even deactivate MobileStar.
Right.
No. You can't. As soon as you try to tamper with it, it actually affects the computer system and your car will shut totally down. Or else it rings a bell to the government. They get a hold of the government, the people that monitor your car for safety and so forth, for what it was designed for. They have the right in Canada, and I'm sure in the States as well, to contact any federal government and say, listen, I have a suspicion this guy's running drugs. Well, why would you say that, ma'am? Well, he tried to disconnect that star device thing and built into his car. Oh, is that right? Well, then bingo. The red lights or the green lights go off. Next thing you know, the government's asking themselves questions. And then next thing you know, they use that little thing that they use in Canada. Oh, well, it's, what's the word? It just escaped me here. Probable cause. We have probable cause to believe that
probable
you are
cause
a drug runner or something, because no person in their right mind would just disconnect this from their computer out of their car, unless there's something illegal going on.
Yeah, that's every entity's favorite thing. We have probable cause. We have probable cause to search your house. We have probable cause to search your car. People should bend over and say, do you have probable cause to search my ass?
Exactly.
You know,
are you American, dear?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I didn't know probable cause was used in the States. That's a that's a Canadian thing. I didn't realize it was in America
They use that as much as they use intimidating a witness. You know, I went on a whole tangent
probable cause
about
that puts their foot right in your door.
Yeah, exactly.
And they push that right to the limit, man.
And it's like, even if they don't turn up something, they turn around and they say, well, we had probable cause because she was mouthy, or we had probable cause because we thought we smelt something funny. It's just bullshit. It's a bullshit tactic for them to just, again, invade your privacy.
But like I said, if we don't stick together and start shoving these laws back up their asshole, it's going to shit all over you.
Yeah, well, the problem is that people, A, like we had this discussion before, the society being raised now is a little bit ignorant, you know? And
a little bit.
B,
oh,
well, I'm trying to give benefit of the doubt here, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, but they're comfortable in their ways, so it's better to, like, turn a blind eye, not, you know, say anything, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil type deal. And, you know, three, I think the people that are educated on some level possibly are becoming afraid of, you know, what exactly is at the end of the road. Because, I mean, some serious times are at hand, and serious change is going to take place in the next 10 years. And I don't think it's going to be for the better of anybody.
No, but the young people of this world, our children, my children are well-educated school-wise and street-wise. Phil, I don't know if he's got kids. I'm sure he does. And I'm sure his kids are far from stupid. And, you know, they have to be learned. They have to be taught these things. But, Dad, I'm not like you. You know, you're a biker. You do this, you do that. I'm a school guy. I'm a teacher. Listen, son, this is what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, that boy is right on the money. And he knows. Do you have a search warrant? No? Get the fuck out. You know,
yeah,
and he's never, ever, ever broken the law. He don't have no criminal record whatsoever. Now, I'm so honored by that and proud of him for that. But, you know, he still has to know these things because he might have to break the law one day just to survive, because the world is not going to hand him food. The world's not going to take care of him. He has to take care of him and the world to make it a better place.
Yeah.
Very true.
Let me see. We got, I think this is someone. Hello, Fran. Is that you, Fran?
Well, of course it's me.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. And I find your conversation interesting this evening.
Uh-huh.
And especially since any time you go to any a political meeting, you're already put into a category, and oftentimes you'll also be put on a blacklist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that one, darling.
I wouldn't know anything about that, but I do believe I've been on a few since age 25. But what concerns me, and this, I believe it is Virginia, that they are doing all biker pullovers.
Phil and I, we had that on the last talk show last week. We were talking about that.
Well, the question I have is this. How long will it be before they pick on women, Spanish? What will be the next group that they're going to actually work on and make a decision that's who needs to be investigated or challenged? I mean, when you said, you know, that you actually get people that are enough.
You go behind the electronic form picture.
Yeah, everybody, do me a favor and turn down your sound in the background because you're walking all over each other.
Oh, I'm on the phone myself, big guy, so I can't do
that.
Yeah,
and I'm on the phone, too, because my computer is not cooperating with me tonight.
Okay, I turned mine down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All I got is a picture of Sonny Barger in my face right now, and I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's embedded in an American flag. I don't know if you've seen that one. I'll send it to you, Phil. Oh, by the way, I was going to ask you, did you get that picture of me on the bike in the snow?
Yes, I did, sir, and I have to apologize because I haven't had time to put it up yet, but I'm going to put that on the blog page.
I'd appreciate it. I was kind of hoping you might put it in your booth or something.
Yeah. Well, no, I got one on the wall like that already from someone that sent me one from Chicago, but no, I'm going to put them both up there.
Yeah, that was November 14th, 2011. Pretty nice pick, though, eh?
Is France?
Yeah,
with
we
us?
Need to address France's question.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
What do you think on that?
I have to apologize. I wasn't paying attention to Fran's question.
Yeah, I'm the one who should apologize. I cut you guys off.
She's asking in regards to how long before they start going to women.
Oh, they already are.
In regards to
investigating.
Oh, investigating women?
They already are.
Oh, they've been doing that for a long, long time,
are.
Too, dear.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
In Canada, for sure, that's, well, I know that. I mean, and if they're doing it in Canada, I mean, you guys are at least two steps ahead of us when it comes to being probed and having your rights stepped on and pissed on, shit on, whatever terminology you want to use. I mean, they attack you guys. They've been doing it a lot longer than they have in Canada. I mean, after Honolulu, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and they had spies everywhere, well, I'll tell you, that was basically the start of it all.
Yeah. Well, I just got a message that picture of Sonny and the flag. He was 19 when that was taken.
Hmm.
He was 19?
Yep.
No, not this one here. No, this was taken last year, actually. Because he's got his plug in his neck and everything, and you've seen the Sons of Anarchy when he makes that cameo appearance when he's in the infirmary,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's he looks identical to then. So that this was taken just last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an up to date one, but I'll send it to you, brother.
The source that said he was 19. I'm going to believe that he was 19 when one of those was taken.
Yeah, but not this one here, though.
Yeah.
This was about a year back. Oh, I will send it to you. And then
new pick.
Maybe you can frame that one as well, because it's actually a very sharp picture. Really, really. It's the man is the man, and you got to love him.
You know, the only thing I think that maybe the U.S. is doing that maybe Canada's not doing, and I'm not too sure because I'm not altogether familiar with Canadian laws when it comes to going after the women. Maybe they use a little bit more, I don't know, is the proper terminology, be a little bit more tact or not so aggressive.
Yeah, they use a little bit
aggressive
more couth
approach. Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, I've read things where law entities, government entities, whatever, deem that some of the women, bikers in general, and they do clarify bikers, they have more fear in the women than they do the men. They've stated that the women will do far beyond right, and they have no hang-ups with protecting what's theirs, you know, where the men will just kind of, you know. So...
Well, if you do some research on that, you will find, like, I got most of the highest bike club in the world. I'm sure we don't have to say the name, but you'll never ever hear of an old lady in any book ratting out the men.
Right, exactly.
More men in the club, infiltrators or not, will rat themselves out. An old lady is more scared of dying for opening her mouth. So that's what scares the police. The police know that the women will keep their goddamn mouth shut. Okay. And they do have backbone. I know a lot of old ladies. And I'll tell you, they're strong.
The thing is that their family, let's just look at the biker category, okay? I'm not going to talk about any other category. Let's just look at that. I think that the women who are in this category are more family orientated. They have more strong family values. And when it comes to anyone trying to infiltrate or hurt their family. If they can stand, or so to say, in the front line, they're going to. You know, they're not going to let anything happen.
Oh, I mean, there's weak women as well as there are weak bikers. But the point is you stated a very, very important point there. They, in a sense, have more to lose. But, I mean, so does the brother. So does that woman's husband.
Right.
You know, he'll do the time. The woman will do the time. But who's better off doing the time, the man or the woman?
Yeah, but they still arrest the women.
Almost definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah. They'll use that against the man. They'll arrest the wife for no reason because she didn't cough up a lung. She didn't write down no statements. She didn't say a goddamn thing unless her attorney's present, if she's got any brains. But they will attack his wife to make him a little weaker. And in retrospect, Phil and I talked about that, it makes the brothers stronger. And the government still has not figured that out. We're going to attack the club, and we're going to break them down. Oh, really? Well, you just opened up a big can of crazy glue. Now they're stuck together even more. Now you're going to have a harder time to break that fucking club. And good luck to you, because you take 100 down, 300 more is going to rise.
Yeah.
They don't have chapters all over the world for nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know.
Okay, let's let Fran get in.
Yeah. First off, just so you know, men may be vicious, but there is nothing worse than a woman that is going to do a payback.
Oh, a woman scorned is a nasty thing.
Oh, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, that's like packing a .44, man.
You talk to any gang task force, they would much rather deal with any male gang than woman because they are that vicious.
Well, that's the stuff I've read, you know, and that's what they've stated.
When you were talking about, you know, just putting them down like a dog, if you would go to Alabama, Alabama actually reinstitute the chain gang. And what's interesting about when they reinstalled the chain gang, when a person did their time, they left that state. Because they never wanted to be on a chain gang again. So, actually, what is actually better is to go back to putting them in chains and making them work the road. It's insulting. It's like putting them down like a dog, and then they will want to move on if they survive that long. So, when you're looking at punishment, that is actually a better punishment. Now, some will say that is unconstitutional and there's another word that they call
inhumane.
But you know what? As the old saying goes, if you can't do the time, then don't do the crime.
That's the truth.
But like I said, I mean, there's times, I mean, depending on the crime, of course, there's times that you have to do things because the federal government is raping your checks. They're raping every, you're making $25 an hour, and then once the taxes are taken off, you work it down, and you're working for $12.50 an hour. And then, you know, you got 3-4 kids, your mortgage, you know, you got your toys, whatever else have you. Some people will do things illegal. It's not hurting the public. They're not going around doing contract killings or anything. But, I mean, you get to the point that you get so darn tired of being broke all the time and you're doing the right thing,
yeah.
You know. You're doing the right thing for your family. You're doing the right thing for your brothers and sisters. You just want to survive. So if an opportunity knocks at your door and you can make a quick $2,000-$3,000 real fast, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, there's not a whole lot of people that are not going to jump on that, sweetheart. You know?
I'm concerned because when there are a number of people that will do anything and everything, so they do not have to do that. Women will go and do a stripper thing just so they can put food on a table. But when you have a judge, or I should say judges, when a man beats his wife and has black and blues all over her from photos from the hospital, and all the judge does is say, come up here, young man, and slaps his hands and say, now don't do it again. I'm fucking sorry. That is not an acceptable. No way in hell is that acceptable.
No, I agree with you. In Canada, I tell you, and that's one thing. I am far from a woman beater. I don't like women beaters. I don't like anybody that would hurt a woman or a child. And there's this one guy. He's a judge. We call him Judge Hangin' Harvey. And Hangin' Harvey. And his daughter got beat to death by by the hands of her husband. And I'll tell you, you go in front of that boy just by slapping a woman, which is just common assault, okay? It, by law, it's called common assault. You will do 18 months to 19 months without him even blinking an eye. And I'll tell you, him, I have to respect him for that because there's no reason why, man, I don't give a shit. I mean, if a woman pulls a gun on a guy because she's drunk and stupid and the guy grabs the gun and gives her a slap across the head, you know, it's still a slap across the head. But, I mean, it's, let's be realistic here. The woman deserved a smack, and I'm sorry, but she got it. But if somebody goes about smacking women just for the fun of it, no. Unacceptable, like you say. Unacceptable. And he should do the time, and a goddamn good one. There's no slaps on the wrist in Canada for that. They protect women in court. And to be honest with you, it was almost too late when they started. That started in 85, 89 when they really started cracking down on abusive husbands and boyfriends and shit in Canada. And I'll tell you, they put a lot of people away real fast.
Well, yeah. Not fast enough.
And that, as a taxpayer, I don't mind paying for that.
Do you know that a lot of your child molesters, you know what state most of them go to?
Which one?
We'll make it easy. Alaska.
Which one?
Alaska.
Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Because they can go underground there real easy.
Well, yeah, but it's easy to get lost in, like, 20 feet of snow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty easy to get lost out here, too, where I'm at. I mean, I'm in the Canadian Rockies, right on the Alberta and British Columbia border, if you look on the geographical map, you'll see that, you can hide a hell of a lot of bodies.
Geographical.
Yeah, thank you, hon.
That's okay.
I'm just stressed out. I got to go for my amputation in the morning.
I know. Yeah. But that's why we're here, to keep your mind busy.
Yeah. And Phil, you know which part of my hand I'm getting amputated? My fuck you finger.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah, man, my favorite finger. It's on my throttle hand as well. It ain't going to stop me from riding, but, I mean, I got to shoot the finger with my left hand now. If I use my right hand, I'll just be shooting people the stubby.
That's funny because my fuck you finger, I had the ligament severed, and when that happened, my finger was stuck in the upright position for like a year. I had to go for occupational therapy, and I'd be driving down the road with both hands on the steering wheel, and I'm flipping everybody off. It didn't matter what I did. My finger was stuck up in the air, and it was wrong.
Isn't it just funny, though? Because, you know, I wave at a lot of my brothers and stuff and friends that I know, and then next thing you know, I get a phone call going, well, what the hell did you flip me the bird for? I said I was waving at you, you silly bat. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that damn fuck you finger. But a buddy of mine, he's a jeweler, right? He says, get a cast made. And he says, I will do this for you as a gift. He says, get a cast made of your finger. He says, send it to me. He lives in Thailand. He says, send it to me. And he says, I will pour you a solid, solid 99.9 solid silver fuck you finger. Then you can screw it on.
That's
then
cool.
You can screw it on top of your fucking helmet. And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it because that would just be hilarious as hell.
But they'll get you for something four centimeters over the limit.
Yeah, without the handle, eh, Phil?
That's a good one, brother.
What Fran was saying about men beating women or vice versa, the thing that really burns in me is this. I have a friend who currently has restraining orders on her ex, okay, and he beat her to the point where she had to be hospitalized. She had to have surgery. She had a shattered knee, broken ribs, etc. And every year she goes in front of the court to renew her restraining order, and that son of a bitch is nowhere to be found. Nor do they send people out to look for him. She shows up, gets the restraining order, and once again the judge is like, the guy's a no-show. And, you know, to me that's just, that's bullshit.
Well,
you know?
A restraining order is such something to laugh at. Because you can breach a restraining order and you get a slap on the wrist.
Yep.
Restraining order is nothing. It just says, oh, you can't be 500 yards away from her. You can't be in the same public bar. You know, whoever gets there first has to leave, or whoever gets there second has to leave. Whoever gets there first has the right to be there. So if she walks in and he's there, by law, she has to walk out.
Well,
but a restraining order is nothing. It's just a
piece of paper.
I will tell you this much. She went to court this year, and she said to the judge, it was 3 years in the making since the incident happened, 3 or 4 years. And she said to the judge, I come here every year to renew this restraining order, and he doesn't show. She said, I have to relive the incident over and over and over again. She's like, can I get, like, a lifetime, a permanent, you know, piece of paper protecting me and my family?
It's called a waiver.
Well, she turned, the judge, it was a female judge, she turned around and gave her the order for 3 years and then looked at her and said, if you know his whereabouts, let us know so we can serve him. Now, the only time he ever showed up in court was the first initial incident when the shit hit the fan. Every year after that, he's MIA. And here's the thing, if they haven't served him when the both parties meet with one another, technically he can turn around and say, well, I haven't been served.
Exactly, it's void.
Exactly.
How well do you know this woman, or basically, how well do you know him?
I know her extremely well, extremely well. We've been lifelong friends, and I knew their relationship, the 10 years they were together, and, I mean, she got her ass whooped. And in the end, the crazy part is this. In the end, when the incident took place, she didn't call the cops. She dragged her body across a driveway to a relative's house that lived, the houses were like side by side, dragged herself into the relative's house and called her mother, and her mother brought her to the hospital. And the only reason why the cops came was because that night when he came, he tried to come home from work. And we were all there with her, and one of the friends hit 911. And the cops showed up, and this girl's sitting there. She's got a shattered knee. She's got broken ribs. She's got a torn tendon in her hand. And you got one cop that was, like, for her, and you have another cop that was turning around saying, well, we should just put you in jail too, because obviously something had to trigger the incident. Now that's bullshit. He's standing there with not a mark on him, and this girl's got broken bones, and this cop is saying this bullshit. And that's how it went to court, because she refused to be a rat. She just was like, you know, the relationship is over. This is it. It's come to its fuel point, and, you know, I just want peace.
And do you know if he's got a federal charges ever on his criminal record? Do you know that?
Well, I know he's got like several felonies. You know?
Enough to get did they pull DNA from this man? Is he under Interpol? Like if they take blood or hair samples or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, try to find out. Listen to me now. Try to find out, and if she tells you yes, he had attempted murder charges when he was younger, whatever, before 85 or 89, before DNA was actually set up. Anything after 89, they'll have a DNA profile on him, and if they do, there's no reason why they cannot hunt this piece of shit down, because. As myself, for taking a life, Nora and I have talked about this. I had to protect myself after a Led Zeppelin concert, and I went to prison. I was 15. I was 2 months shy of my 16th birthday, sorry, and I served 6 years. They wanted first-degree murder, then second-degree murder, and then I ended up getting manslaughter. But I served 6 years, and... That was before DNA was set up. And then there was another case after my little brother passed away, which was 10 years ago now. And so they took DNA samples, everything, semen, blood, hair, nails, everything. So I'm known around the world. You know, I'm in the same book as Bin Laden. Wherever I go, Interpol will find me. So if he's got anything pending like that on him, find that from your friend. Find that out from your friend. And if that's the case, there is no reason why this poor woman should have to do the research and give them the details of where he might be. It's up to them to hunt that piece of shit down.
Well, that's what kind of what I said. You know, I'm like, I don't understand. You know, they're granting you a restraining order, but it hasn't been served on him, and it's kind of like useless.
Yeah, like I said, and like Phil agrees. It's void. If it's not served to him directly, all he has to say is plead the ignorant. Sorry, I was not served. I mean, people get served for a divorce, and it's served by a marshal in Canada, and I'm sure it's probably served by marshals in the States as well. If you don't want to give your wife a divorce and she insists, she will hire an attorney. The attorney is going to hire a marshal. The marshal is going to knock at your door, and you cannot fight a marshal. When the marshal hands you a piece of paper and you breach that, you're going to jail. It's not a court thing. It's a marshal thing.
You open the door.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that don't know, because what they do is, a lot of them in Canada, this is what they do. They will get dressed up as a vacuum salesman.
Oh, yeah. And it's
knock at your door and say, oh, Mr. Morin, or whatever, I'm here to show you something that you'll never forget. Oh, this is the best, the top of the line. Here you go. You've been served. Bye-bye. See you later. They got their ways, man. They got their ways. If they want you, they'll get you.
Yeah. Now, I think in her case, too, the guy he was working for was paying him under the table, and he didn't put in no changes of address. They have, like, an address that's, like, a billion years old, and there's no taxes or anything being paid, like, on a pay stub. So it's like they stand there in the court all scratching their heads, and to me it's like, you know, they can go, like you were saying, they can go on hunts for all different kinds of people, but a man dwelling somewhere in the same city she is, they can't find.
The guy must have a driver's license.
No, he doesn't, believe it or not.
Well, I'll tell you right now, sweetheart, that guy is sitting on some fake IDs.
That's a possibility.
Oh, there ain't no possibilities about it. He's got, and that's so easy to get.
But, hey, Pete, you're unmuted. Would you want to chime in about this?
No, my phone, I think my phone was messed up earlier. Is Gino still on the phone, too? Gino? Did he hang up?
I didn't see him.
You hung up?
Yeah.
No, when they were talking about the middle broken middle finger, and I had a funny story. Two summers ago, I was my neighbor bought a boxer dog, and I was working. I was trying to put the chest harness on the dog, and this dog was very strong. It was a good sized dog, about a year old, and he broke my middle finger, my right middle finger. And I had just bought a brand new Holly, and I'm like, you know, son of a bitch. So I went to the emergency room, and they taped it up, and they put it in the brace, and my finger is literally standing straight up. You know, obviously, yeah. I can't move it. So I come home, like, screw, I was in pain, you know. Laid down for a while. I said, screw this, I'm taking my bike out. So I live in a small town, so the cops are all over me here, you know. So, and the state police. So I get on the bike, and this bike was loud. It was loud. Fly down my street. I live on a main street, big, long street, Washington Street. And, you know, I'm going by the police. I wave to them. My finger's straight up, you know. They pull me over.
Yeah.
And it was
cool.
The state police, actually. It wasn't the locals. It was the state police. They pulled me over. And they said, you think that's funny? I said, what? What did I do? They're like, you wave to us and you give us the finger? I said, sir, I have a broken finger. A dog broke my finger earlier today, and it's in a brace. And I pulled the paperwork out of my back pocket, and I showed it to them. And they you know, they, of course, it's the state police, so they gave me the attitude and the dirty looks, and they checked everything. I said, it's true. I was waving to you. I just happen to have my middle finger straight up because it's broken. It's in a brace, you know. They didn't believe it. They thought I did it. And the truth is yeah, I was flipping the bird to them. So I just thought I'd throw that story in there.
Are we related somehow?
Yeah.
No, listen to this
Canada,
one,
man,
Doug. I believe I brought this up to Phil. I got pulled over here on with a highway patrol. I was in my Le Sabre, and I was doing 10 kilometers over the speed limit. And I had got sideswiped about 6 months prior to that. So my mirror on my left-hand side of the driver's side was hanging there. So I get pulled over. And he says, well, I'm going to have to issue you two tickets, one for speeding and one for this mirror. I went, well, okay, no problem. And then so I'm standing outside the car, and I got a goatee, so I'm rubbing my hair on my chin, and the police go, well, why are you doing that? I really wish you wouldn't do that. And I'm not even thinking about what the hell he's talking about. And then it dawned on me. I went, oh, you mean this? He says, yeah. He says, you know, you can get charged with that. I says, yeah, obstruction of justice, right? He says, yeah. I says, that's just like spitting on you or telling you to go fuck yourself. He says, exactly. I says, buddy, I says, it don't bend. He says, well, I can still give you a ticket. I says, you know what? Do me a favor. Issue me that ticket. I'll go to court, stand in front of the judge, shoot him the fucking finger, and I says, who in the hell is going to look stupid at the end of this court case? He says, yeah, I guess. He says, yeah, I guess, good point. So what the son of a bitch did, he says, well, here's your two tickets, one for the mirror and one for your speeding. I went, all right, have a good day, he says. And I've never had a cop say, have a good day in my life. So, but it didn't dawn on me, so I put it in my console. And then a little while back, I went, well, shit, I better go and pay this fine. And it was about the same time that I had to go and re-register my vehicle. Because out here, if you have any fines or anything, speeding tickets, anything like that, you have to pay them before you can get your license.
Same here.
You know, your new sticker on your plate. So the lady at the motor vehicle branch says, well, it's a total of $500 and something. I'm going, excuse me, for a hanging mirror and 10 kilometers over an hour? I said, I can't see that being more than $150. Oh, no, you have an obstruction charge. I went, piece of shit. $422, my friend. That's
wow.
What my ticket was for shooting him the finger that I wasn't doing in the first place. And then so I look at the date. I missed the court date by 2 days.
Oh.
If I could have went to court, I would have made an ass out of him. I'll tell you, the judge would have started laughing. He would have went. He would have looked at the cop and would have went, what the hell kind of idiot are you?
But you still could have went to court. All you had to do was get a note from the doctor saying that you wouldn't have been able to be there on that day, and you could have got your case reheard.
Yeah, but in this case, there's no reason why I wouldn't have been able to go to court because I was still battling cancer. And so I was homebound, so there's no reason why I wouldn't have missed that court date. I just happened to overlook it. It was an oversight on my part, but it cost me $422, my people.
I know that.
Yeah,
know
I got it framed. I got the ticket framed. Because I told people that, and they laughed in my face. They went, get the fuck out of here. Are you serious? So when they come over, my house is like a Harley museum. So I'll tell you, it stands right out, and people just shake their head and went, oh, man, that's too bad you missed it. Oh, I would have had a heyday with him.
They're trying to pass the law here in Massachusetts where I live.
I live in Massachusetts, too.
Oh, yeah. You're in Massachusetts? Oh.
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Boston?
No, towards the Fall River area.
Oh, I could tell by your accent. It's almost Rhode Islandish.
Rhode Islandish.
The Rhode Island guy.
That person's from Rhode Island. I'm up towards Fort Devens, if you know that area at all.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
That's where I live, actually. But they're trying to pass a law I read somewhere. I have to check my emails, that in Massachusetts they're going to limit the amount of months that you can ride a motorcycle. So in other words, they would have a riding season. It would start, your riding season would start in April or May, and you cannot ride your bike when, you know, winter in Massachusetts officially begins November or whatever the hell it is, December. You would not be able to ride your bike during those months, and if you were to be caught, they could impound your bike, you could be arrested, all kinds of fines. Yeah, imagine that. So now they're telling us what months we can ride our bikes and
Do you have a lot of snow in Rhode Island? I don't know.
No, he's in Rhode Island, I'm in Massachusetts. We don't get that much. We don't get as much snow as Canada, but no, like right now, I could go out and ride, no problem.
Yeah, it's been 60 degrees here.
Yeah, but they're trying to pass that.
Today,
yeah.
And it's going to be warm the rest of this week. We've had a really mild winter, and I've seen people out, you know, riding their bikes because the weather is just, it's not cold. You know, we have mild days, and with no snow on the ground.
Well, I sent Phil a beautiful picture of me in the snow, and I'll tell you, I'm the first one on the bike where I'm at, and usually always the last one to park my bike. And in the States, I'm not sure if that works the same way, but you have to insure your bike for the full year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
in Canada out here, basically you have 5, possibly 6 months at the most of riding season. But, I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't just be able to insure our bikes for that 6 months and then take the insurance off.
You're right. In Massachusetts, in New England, you only have, you know, there's a few months that you can't ride because we do get a lot of snow. But you shouldn't be told, hey, you know, you can't ride for these months. What if there's, you know, we've had Indian summers here. In the middle of winter, one day we'll have a snowstorm, and the next day it'll be 70 degrees out.
Exactly. So there's no reason why you can't jump on your fucking ride and go for
it. They're trying to make it like, you know, they're trying to make this a communist country now, so that's what it's coming to. Especially
communism is falling out of everybody's pockets, my brother.
Yeah, I know. And I'm Russian.
It's a sad thing, but it's reality.
But I tell you right now, especially Massachusetts, I know Canada's just as bad, and most of the United States becoming communist, in my opinion.
Oh, most definitely.
Well, I know
it has been for a while, bro.
In Massachusetts, they are pushing what they're going to call a sin tax, and it's spelled S-I-N. And they're going to jack the price of cigarettes up to over $10 a pack, plus a major tax. And that's not the only thing. They're doing it to soda, candy, and bottled water.
Wow. Of course.
Yeah.
I don't smoke, but I drink soda. So,
but the thing is that I'm looking at is going to be the ripple effect. Yes, people are going to quit smoking and they're going to get healthier, but the people growing the tobacco, the farmers, and the people who just downright want to smoke for enjoyment, you know, they're the people that are going to be kicked in the ass. And again, it's another freedom taken away.
What's the price on the pack of cigarettes in the States on that?
Over here they're in between $8 and $9.
All right,
okay.
My brother smokes 2 packs a day, and he pays $7.50 a pack, and those are generic.
Yeah, I smoke number sevens, which is very close to a Des Mauriers. I'm sure you guys know what Des Mauriers are. $13.50 a pack.
That's
wow.
Do you know how much it costs them to make a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah, dollar.
Probably 20. About 50 cents.
$1.25.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Oh, have you guys heard the headline in regards for the New York Police Department and the feds are testing gun scanning technologies, but the civil liberties groups are up in arms?
Say that again.
All right, here's what it is. Here's what she's talking about. The police in New York City, along with the U.S. Department of Defense, they're researching a new technology and a scanner placed on police vehicles that can detect concealed weapons. You can use it at a specific event. You can use it at a shooting-prone location. It's called a terahertz imaging detection. It measures the energy radiating from a body up to 16 feet away and can detect anything blocking it, like a gun. I think it's good. People will be safer and will be more safer environment.
There's beautiful guns out there made out of ceramic, and they come from. No, I'm serious, and they come from China. And
I know
these things are unbelievable. It's a 15 clip. It comes apart in pieces. So
yeah,
a lot of people have the mobsters, actually. The first one I ever seen was from the Hungarian mob. It was a Hungarian mafia man that had one, and it comes apart in about 5 pieces, and it's got a full clip, 15, one in the chamber, 16 shells, 9mm, and it's made out of ceramic, and it's not detectable with anything, X-rays, whatever.
Look at that gun that John Malkovich made in that Clint Eastwood movie there, out of wood. Was it something else? Wasn't it plastic or something? In the Line of Fire, I think was the name of the movie.
Yeah, it was actually aluminum.
Oh, it was aluminum. Yeah.
It was aluminum. Yeah.
I mean, guns
well, just
made
like
out of
Glocks. Glocks are aluminum.
Yeah.
And, you take down a life or something, you melt the son of a bitch down, and it's gone. It's history. But little ceramic guns, if they're going to be passing that law, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of those on the streets real fast.
No kidding.
Well, yeah, but it's stated that it's to be good for the people, to keep them safer, and it's safer for the environment. That's what Jessica... Remus has said.
How are guns going to be safer for the environment?
They think it's about time to save people's lives more and more.
Like Shirley
said.
Like
Antonio Gabriel says.
How would a gun be safer for the environment other than saving lives?
They're going to come up with a thing that says it's producing greenhouse gas.
There's a movie out. It came out a few years back, and this gun was shooting projectiles made out of ice. Okay, and the guy had his bullets in a case, and this case had a little canister It freezes everything, like semen. They'll use that to freeze embryos and stuff like that in the medical field. But
yeah.
This gun actually exists. You can actually make projectiles of any sort, 30-06s, MKs, MK5, MK10s, whatever, and or MAC-10s, MAC-5s, 9mm. All you got to do is have your mold, you pour your bullet, you keep it under, I forget what it is, I think it's 25 degrees below zero, you pop it in there, you shoot it, it stays in the body, it melts away. There's nothing. There's no shrapnel. There's no nothing to track the guy down.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they can make a potato shooter.
We used to make potato guns when we were kids.
Exactly. Then I can definitely believe that, because if you can get the instrument that can shoot it, and it's traveling at the rate of speed it's going. And,
it'll fit in any gun. It's just a matter of getting the mold to, like say you're using a Glock, 9mm Glock. If you have that mold, you pour your water in there, you freeze it, and then you keep it frozen at a certain temperature. You got your target in front of you. You pop one in the chamber, shoot the son of a bitch or whatever, and boom, the bullet melts inside the body. There's no shrapnel. They can't track it down. There's no spiral, because they can do DNA or DNA. They can do analysis on the spiral, right, because all barrels have a little swirl inside.
Yep, exactly.
Well, you ain't going to get a swirl if the bullet's not there, is it?
That's massive, though.
Yeah, but it's high tech, and everything else in the world is high tech. So, yeah, I could see that coming out real soon.
Well, when they're talking about the scanners, it's, as Police Commissioner Kelly said, that the scanner would only be used in reasonable suspicious circumstances.
Oh,
and
so we go back to probable cause again.
Exactly.
I got a feeling that instrument is going to be used for several hundred million other things besides what they're telling the people it's used for.
They can x-ray a car in Canada from a police car. It's a gun. It looks like a radar gun. And they just go whoosh, across the side of the car, in front of the car, around the trunk, whatever, and they can scan right through your car. It's not designed for guns. I don't think they can find a gun, but they'll find something that might be appealing to their eye, and then here comes probable cause again. And they will strip your car right down to nothing on the side of the road. They will tear it to pieces, and they won't tow it away. They'll leave it there and have you pay for the towing bill, the rebuilding bill, and everything else. But they didn't find anything, and by law, you know what they call
Viper teams.
Exactly.
They're conducting random inspections at bus stations, on the highway, and even at the unannounced security screenings. They do 8,000 a year. The subway stations, bus terminals, ports, and highway rest stops.
But when they tear somebody's car apart and don't find anything, you don't think the government should say, listen, whoever tore this man's car apart didn't even find a roach, nothing. They should have the audacity, to rebuild it the way that they destroyed it. No, they leave it to you. You're the car owner. It's your problem. Well, it's a brand new $50,000 car, and now I have nothing. All I have is rims on the ground and a frame. Like, they attack you in every way possible. Like, this is sick. Like, my little brother got hit years ago at the Detroit border. We're living in Windsor, Ontario, and they found one roach in his ashtray. He had a van. They pulled him in, gave him that little pink sticker, waved him in, just destroyed his van. I mean, took it right apart. And it stayed in the States for 3 days. That was the maximum. After 3 days, you have to remove it, or else they were going to charge him, I forget what it was. It was an outrageous price, something like $6,000 or $5,000 to get it across back to the Canadian side so he can look at it and decide, should I rebuild it or just throw it in the garbage? Well, of course you're going to throw it in the garbage. It's a 1972 Ford Ford van he had at the time. Not much worth anything. So now he lost. He lost his vehicle, the stereo, everything. They cut the seats. They did everything. They even slashed the tires to see if there was drugs inside the tubes.
That's ridiculous.
And he was just going to a Who concert.
Yeah.
And the stupid thing as a roach, cost him his livelihood because he was doing deliveries for a car company, GM, actually, at the time.
Yeah.
So he ended up losing his job because he couldn't get a vehicle back on the road on time. So they hired somebody else. So he lost his van, self-respect, and then his job on top of that with a brand new baby.
What I want to do here is I promised a friend in New York. His name is Frank Falangi. You guys probably heard his music on my show before.
Yes, I did.
But he sent me a copy of his new one that comes out,
and he wanted me to pick somebody on the show, and I'll send it to him. So let me play this real quick, then we'll come back and pick somebody. Just send me an email, and I'll send it to you.
Sounds great, Phil. Thanks.
All right, hold on a second.
Better hurry up. My fuck you finger's up.
Yeah, I know. Kid.
That is amazing, brother.
That's a kid that does that? Awesome.
Huh?
I said, it's a kid that does that?
Yeah, his name's Frank Falange. He's out of New York.
Is he the singer, or does he play guitar and sing?
He does everything. Plays the drums and all that stuff.
Oh, so he actually did all the recording and everything and overdubbed everything and put it on the disc?
Yeah, with some guys down in Nashville, they helped them do some stuff with the tracks, but yeah.
Amazing. Hey, man, you give him kudos for me. Good for him. Powerful voice. Very good tune. I love that.
Well, if you send me an email, I'll send it to you.
That'd be fantastic, Phil. I appreciate it.
I'll send you the link. I put his link up in the chat.
On the board, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that'd be great.
I personally
don't think I have your email address other than the one on the show. Would that be the one I would use?
Yeah, the Strokers.
Okay, that'd be great. If you could just do me a favor, maybe just send it to me on my page or a message or whatever, and then I'll write it down and I'll have it, and I'll send you an email right away.
Yeah, it's better to send me an email.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic. May I interject here? I was just handed a piece of paper. This is about nurse care.
What, it wasn't a warrant, was it?
This is about a Calgary nurse. Get a load of this. 35-year-old in Calgary needed home care. Nurse gave him a bath in scalding hot water, burnt 20% of his body, put him to bed, and waited approximately 2 hours before phoning 911. Didn't take care of his wounds. Has just quit her job. He died late last night, which was 31st. Now all home care workers will be investigated. In all of Alberta home institutions, home care workers must now be licensed and trained. Doesn't matter if it's a home care facility or in home care houses, or patients' houses will be in effect immediately, and that's in the Calgary Sun and the Calgary Herald. What a sad thing for a man to go through. This guy was in his 80s.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
I mean, we've covered a lot of things. I mean, I haven't covered home care or anything like that with you, Phil, on the show, but I'm sure you've probably talked about it. That melts my heart, man, to hear something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we're not protected anywhere. Nobody is anymore.
Yeah.
And if there should be cameras, it should be in a place like that. I mean, of course, everybody knows there's been a lot of nurses and there's been a lot of abuse in old age places like that, institutions. And that, there should be cameras in every damn corner, in all hallways, everywhere.
Yeah.
Instead of attacking us, why don't they attack the people that actually go out to maim elderly men and women? That is so sad.
Yeah.
But anyways, my brothers, and sisters, of course, I love you all. I have to get off the air right now. I got to get a few things ready for my op tomorrow. And take care of all yourselves. Like I said, the bigger the batch of the brothers are and sisters, the more we can look after each other.
Exactly.
And let me know when you're better how good you're doing, okay?
I certainly will, Nora.
Okay.
Okay,
love
pleasure
you.
Talking
have
to you all. And your brother here in Canada does love you. And take care of yourselves, all right?
Okay, and you too. Love you too.
All right, brother. Hey, frame that picture, Phil.
Okay, man. I will.
All right, brother. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to get a hold of Frank and have him send me a couple more of the CDs. But what he sent me was the MP3s to download off the computer. So I can send those right now.
All right.
So you can listen to them. But I have to wait a couple of days to get the CDs.
No, that's fine.
Now I'll mail them out.
That's good music.
Yeah. In fact, you know, while I'm thinking about it, let me play another one. Let's see. Here we go. This one's going to be called It's All Right. Man, things slow now. There we go. This one, it's called It's All Right by Frank Polanyi. Thank you.
He's got another one. I'm gonna pop that one in. It's called Driving These Lines. And I just sent I'm gonna send an email to YouTube right now, and
okay.
It's three more songs. Yeah, it's kind of just it took a mind of its own there tonight, huh, Nora?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to get in there and, okay, that was kind of hard.
There we go. Kiddo, I think we're going to call it a day.
Yep.
I'm going to take us out with my message to all those that are listening that don't like what we do.
Oh, let's go with the good one. Ring it out with the good.
There we go. After this, I'm going to say goodnight now because after this, I won't be back, and I'll talk to you later. Here
okay.
We go.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word just by its sound, can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories, as a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as, John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, aw, fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question, inquiry, who the fuck was that, dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here, incompetence, he's a fuck off, dismissal, why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you!
All right, everybody. Have a good holiday. And talk to y'all soon.